In hoc signo vinces. In this sign you will conquer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In hoc signo vinces. In this sign you will conquer. What sign? What is the sign under which we shall be victorious? Inscribed on the top of the apse of this very church are those very words, in hoc signo vinces, there in the banner below the quiro. And just below is the sign under which you shall be victorious. These words were first uttered to Constantine in the year 312. Upon receiving a vision just before entering into the battle of the Milvian Bridge against Maxentius, a pivotal point that would allow the control of the Tiber, and therefore the victor would be the new Roman emperor. He received this vision from an angel. The pagan Constantine received a vision and said to him, in this sign you shall be victorious, showing him the sign of the cross. And Constantine understood that he must mark the emblems of all of his soldiers' armor with the sign of the cross. You might say that they were the first crusaders. He was victorious. He conquered Maxentius and would eventually become the Roman emperor. And this single day would allow the end of the persecutions of pagan Rome, would provide the peace necessary within the empire already established by the Pax Romana, that would allow the gospel now to be proclaimed throughout the empire, making now Christianity not only a safe religion to practice, but the one true religion that was acknowledged officially by the mighty Roman Empire, and therefore would spread to all corners of the earth, and to bring the gospel and the salvation to all men at all times, in all places. In this sign, you too shall be victorious. The Edict of Milan was signed a year later in 313, and therefore this sign became the emblem of the empire, no longer under the pagan yoke of Satan, but that the very cross would be planted in the heart of Satan's realm, the seat of the devil himself, in the pagan world, whereby now the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ would have plunged themselves deep into the heart of Satan, crushing his head, fulfilling the promise that we had received ever since the fall of our first parents, the fall that was from disobedience with a tree. The living tree which God had commanded you, thou shalt not eat of this fruit, lest thou shalt die. And our disobedience, the disobedience of our first parents, transgressed that law, and a living tree brought about death to creation, bringing sin, destruction, and disorder into the world that God had created and established as good. How befitting, in the beauty of God's providence, that he would confound the devil and all of rebellious creation to use a dead tree to bring eternal life back to his creation. The tree of the cross is our hope. The tree of the cross is the instrument of salvation that God, in all of his beautiful providence, chose to be the victorious instrument over all evil, that he would suffer and die on the cross, the tree that would bring to us the fruit of eternal life, the Holy Eucharist. In every sacrifice, every legitimate sacrifice in the Old Covenant, as St. Paul points out, that blood was shed. All of the blood of the sacrificial animals were poured out, but not poured out for the carcass to rot and die, but rather that once the animal was slain, its flesh was roasted and then eaten by those in order to receive the blessings of such a sacrifice, the remission of guilt. Is not the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ exactly the same? In fact, the fulfillment of all of those that came before it, and the sacrifice which will never be compared again. Why? Because his flesh continues to be eaten at every time it is renewed at the holy sacrifice of the Mass. The one sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, once and for all offered for us on the hill of Calvary, is made present again at each holy altar. The mountain of Calvary here, in this time, in this place. And the curtains of time are rent asunder, and those present are brought back to that salvific act once and for all. And in order that we may participate of its blessings, what did he institute? In order that we may eat of his flesh, the flesh that he offered for us once and for all on the cross, the sacrament of the Eucharist, which will be instituted on the day before he would offer up his flesh on the gibbet of Calvary. This, my friends, brings us salvation. That same salvation that, of course, we know and believe and hold most dear existed to us at that day nearly 2,000 years ago. But that salvation is brought to you each time the holy sacrifice of the Mass is offered. And therefore, the fulfillment of that sacrifice, the complement, the completion of that sacrifice is in the devout reception of Holy Communion, whereby the merits of Jesus Christ are made yours, therefore allowing you to go into the world to sacrifice yourself and make the merits of Jesus Christ your merits for eternal salvation. In this sign, you will be victorious. In the darkest times of your lives, the darkest times of society, when it is that we cannot see God and we want him ardently to intervene in order that we may receive his grace and blessing, remember that he is the creator of time. And in his good time, at the right time, he will intervene to save us and to redeem us. You will notice, of course, the violet veils and the statuary in the church. And Holy Mother Church has been practicing this visible sign for centuries. Why? Because of the last words of today's gospel. Jesus, our Lord and God, confirms to the Jews that he is God. Those terrible words, I am. The sacred name of God, reaffirming that he is who is. That all that exists, exists in virtue of his eternal existence, without which no one can question. No one would be around to question the existence of God, because he is existence. He exists. He affirms this to the Jews, and they take up stones in order to stone him for blasphemy, because if he is not who he says he is a blasphemer and should be put to death indeed. He is who he says he is. Otherwise, as our Lord himself says, I would be like them. I would be a liar. He is the truth. He tells us that. And in confirming this most sublime truth, that he is God made man, taking up stones to cast at him, Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Our Lord has hidden himself because it is not yet his hour. It is not yet his time to vindicate all that had been corrupted by sin, to redeem it in his image and likeness, and to establish for us the reign of his kingdom, the reign of his grace, the reign of his love. It is not yet time. And so he hides. Next week, the drama of Holy Week shall unfold before your eyes. Be a part of it. Follow our Lord's footsteps as he continues to be in hiding. Hide with him, and you shall be victorious. For on that moment on Good Friday when he is unveiled, and you see that sign under which you shall win, you are there in its shadows, you are there in its harbor, and its mantle covers you with its grace. That is the standard of our King. That is the standard of our God, the cross. We hide with him now. We hide with him in order that he would manifest his glory, and when he does, that we would be there at the cross, knowing always that the resurrection is near at hand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.